It's now time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular analysis of Maine politics and government. 2025 is an off-year election in Maine with no major candidate races on the ballot, but voters will have a chance to weigh in on two statewide referendum questions. Today, we're diving into question one with Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. So, Kevin, let's start with a quick overview of question one. What does it seek to do?
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. So question one really can be separated into two parts. The first part, which is what supporters are mostly talking about, would require anyone who goes to the polls on election day to show a photo ID before they can cast a ballot. And that would mean a driver's license or a non-driver ID card issued by the state, or it could be a passport card, or one of several military IDs. But question one also seeks to make multiple changes to Maine's absentee ballot process. And this is what's getting a lot of attention from opponents. So, for instance, it would eliminate what are now the last 2 days of absentee balloting. It would also cancel a program that currently allows senior citizens and disabled voters to automatically receive an absentee ballot in the mail for every election without requesting them. And that option actually is going to be available to all voters starting next year, unless question one passes. Question one would also restrict towns to only one ballot drop box, and then it would apply the same photo ID provisions that I just talked about to the absentee balloting process, only in that case you'd have to include your driver's license number or a photocopy of an approved ID along with your completed ballot. And there are actually other changes. It's a big, long question, but I'll stop there for now.
Okay, that is a lot. Let's break this down a bit and start with the first part of this initiative, the voter ID piece. This is not a new issue here in Maine, right? I feel like some Maine politicians have been talking about it for years.
Yeah, that's right. And we've seen voter ID proposals surface in the Maine legislature going back to the mid-1990s, at least. It's one of these perennial issues, most often pushed by Republican lawmakers who view it as a way to reduce the potential for voter fraud. But Maine really hasn't had any incidents of widespread voter fraud. And voter ID or photo ID proposals have always been defeated in the legislature because many Democrats and interest groups say that they disproportionately affect certain populations like minority voters and senior citizens who don't drive. So after trying and failing for many years, a conservative political action committee known as Dinner Table Action decided to go the other route for getting a law passed in Maine, which is the citizens' initiative process. They gathered more than enough petition signatures, so that's where we are now.
How does Maine's current policy compare to other states?
Yeah, so we're in the minority. 36 other states have some form of voter ID requirement, and those are both Republican and Democratic-leaning states. Those laws vary considerably. 23 of the 36 states, I believe, require voters to show some form of photo ID, like the proposal in Maine. But in 13 of the states, you can actually use some sort of non-photo documentation to prove who you are, like a bank statement or a utility bill.
Okay, so turning now to the absentee ballot part of the referendum, why do proponents of question one say these changes are needed?
Well, they say that some of the changes, like those requiring a driver's license number or a photocopy of an ID, that they're needed to stay consistent with the voter ID portions of the proposal. But they also say that these other changes are kind of forward-looking to avoid any future problems as more and more Mainers use absentee voting. But I talked with Alex Titcomb, who is leading the Question One campaign, and he repeatedly downplayed that these are big changes, and actually he called them minor several times.
The big change to our elections is the requirement of a photo ID. All the other stuff is really minor. The opposition campaign, the No on One campaign, is making a big deal about these small things, but some of them are based on current law and just a minor tweak.
But the opponents of question one absolutely and categorically reject that characterization that these are minor changes. They point out that roughly 45% of voters cast absentee ballots last year, so nearly half of the votes during the presidential election in 2024 in Maine, were either mailed in or they were cast in person, but early. Here's a clip from David Farmer. He's a spokesman for the Save Maine Absentee Voting Coalition.
It won't be relatively minor to the thousands of people who will lose their ability to vote. The two most popular in-person absentee voting days are being eliminated by this question one. The bottom line is that absentee provisions will have a much greater impact on voters than the other elements.
In fact, many of these groups opposed to question one describe it as an underhanded attempt to disenfranchise voters.
It almost sounds like these groups are talking about two different ballot questions here.
Yeah, exactly. Because question one focuses on two distinct issues, we're seeing two completely disparate competing narratives around it. I mean, if you look at the names of the groups that are involved on either side of this, Alex Titcomb's group is called Voter ID for Maine. The campaign against question one calls itself the Save Maine Absentee Voting Coalition. So like you said, it's almost like they're campaigning on different ballot questions. But I find it very interesting that some of the groups that are involved in that Save Maine Absentee Voting Coalition, groups like the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, Disability Rights Maine, and some of the state's biggest labor unions, they've been opposed to voter ID for many years. But here in question one, it's all about the absentee balloting changes.
Why do you think that is? There must be a strategy there.
Yeah, I think it's clearly strategic. The concept of having to show a photo ID at the ballot box has enjoyed bipartisan support across the country and in Maine. You know, to a lot of people, it just kind of makes sense as an extra layer of election security. And I believe that that's what the grassroots campaign was emphasizing when they gathered more than 170,000 signatures from Maine voters to place this on the ballot. And that's 100,000 more signatures than they actually needed. But the other side says that they're focusing on the absentee balloting changes because those could have the most damaging implications. Here's David Farmer again with the Save Maine Absentee Voting Coalition.
If they had only wanted voter ID, why is this long list of new restrictions and new hurdles to voting and new attacks on absentee voting included in the bill? It could have been a one-line bill if that's what they were concerned about. But instead, they took a kitchen sink approach trying to undermine participation in Maine elections.
And how has the yes on one side responded to that kind of criticism?
Yeah, well, they accuse the no folks of exaggerating the impact, and they say most voters would support voter ID. This is Alex Titcomb again with Voter ID for Maine.
Frankly, they're flat out lying in some cases. Like, we're abolishing and getting rid of absentee voting. It's 100% false. And they're purposefully pushing that narrative because that's all they have is to fear and scare voters away from passing common sense, good policy.
So the election is about a month away. Do you have a sense for which side is likely to prevail on this one?
Not really. One of the challenges, I think, for both sides is this is an off-year election. And there are only two things on the statewide ballot. There's this issue, and then there's question two, which deals with taking guns away from dangerous people. So turnout is really going to be key here. The fact that the folks with Dinner Table Action and now Voter ID for Maine were able to gather 170,000 signatures in a state with 1.3 million people, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, this was a largely grassroots volunteer effort, and I know that their focus right now is getting those folks to take the next step to show up and to vote. But the more than 30 groups on the other side who are part of this coalition have pretty big megaphones themselves, I'd say. They've got their own donor bases, and they've got supporters. They also have larger staffed campaign operations at this point. But I think the big thing to watch out for here is if any additional big national money flows into the race. Both sides have received six-figure donations from some ideological national groups, but the spending on this campaign so far is much less than some of the other heated ballot issues that we've seen in the past in Maine.
That was Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. You can read more about this topic online at mainepublic.org/pulse. That's also where you can subscribe to receive the newsletter version of Maine's Political Pulse. In the next Political Pulse installment, Maine Public Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler will dive into question two on the November ballot, which proposes a, quote, red flag gun law. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.